This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Okay, we are live here on Pet Life Radio. Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff, here for you, here for your pets. And I'm waving. Oh, look at that. Some new friends, Jeff and Sarah. That's great. Anyway, Stephanie and Jeff with their who met. Of course, when you're traveling, and here I'm in Cabo San Lucas in Mexico. And when you're traveling, you always, you know, typically what draws people together when you hear conversations about their pets. It's kind of like when you're walking down the street, say in, you know, Beverly Hills, and you are, you know, people are sitting outside eating. You don't stop unless you know them. You don't stop and talk. But if they have their dog with them, oh, then we all stop and talk. So it's the same thing here. Just say hello to a great Walter and George. So they're two cats. So anyway, having a great time here in Cabo. If you're following me on Pet Life Radio, I'm a little darker because the backdrop, the sun, it's so sunny out there, is stunning. So I'm having a great time. So anyway, just that's Jeff's other half. Hello, hello. So anyway, having a great time. Beautiful sunshine. I don't do this enough. I mean, I know people say I don't know how to have fun. No, I know how to have fun. But it's funny. I feel guilty if I don't have my patients seeing. If there's no one to see them, if they call and they can't get through, I feel guilty. I feel like, oh my God, I'm doing a disservice to my patients. So I you know, it's hard for me to get away. Plus, you know, for me, as you know, work has never been work. It's been kind of like fun. So anyway, a little time difference here and waving to everybody who's waving. So of course, if you have any questions, now is the time to ask. I had some, you know, there are a couple of things that I saw in this last week. One is a patient of mine. And the other one is what's going on. This was very, very interesting stuff, by the way. And I did a little post about it. I want to know, you know, I want you guys to chime in as well, okay? Because I think this is important stuff. Okay, we talked about, you know, Peanut the squirrel and Fred the raccoon. And everybody, you know, chimed in and how terrible it was that they did, the government did that. And yes, they, you know, so there are so many problems with this case. You know, I do a lot of expert witnessing. And when I read the subpoenas, I just pointing out all the issues that both parties screwed up. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. So firstly, what was their excuse for killing both animals? They had to tell about rabies. And it's true. It's true that if you are trying to determine rabies, the only way to get a positive, and mind you, this is an animal that is showing clinical signs of rabies. Yes, you have to do the brain thing. You kill them, you take the head and check the brain. I get it. But let's say a person gets bitten by a dog, okay? And the dog has no history, vaccine history. What is the responsibility of the owner of the dog? Simply, that dog has to be detained in quarantine for 10 days. What does that tell you? So, I mean, Peanut's been there for 7 years. And Fred, I don't know how long, but not way more than 10 days. And yet haven't shown no signs of rabies, no neurologic, no, none of this typical classical rabies signs. So no, they didn't have to do that. That was a BS excuse. But now, as they say, you know, when you have these, there's always two sides to a story. Actually, there's three, because a lot of these sides are very subjective. So there's that person's side, there's the other person's side, that is really, really the truth, what happened. So that's how I feel about this case. There are two sides. The two sides we see that when others started chiming in, and we're talking about these other, you know, rescuers, these rehabilitators, the rehabbers, they call them. And apparently, from what you read, is that this guy Longo, I think it was Mark Longo, but his license had expired, and he hadn't, you know, he was using this whole scheme with Peanut and a little bit with Fred to raise money. That he had this Instagram following, and he was raising money supposedly for his rescue, for his rehab, but where it was going, who knows? But he hadn't updated his license. Now, mind you, the state of New York doing their job. Now, do I think they mishandled it? Absolutely. But did they have a right to go in under the circumstances. Now, mind you, as it was stated, that they did not, they knew about Peanut. Peanut's a little squirrel. It's cute. Race is a little squirrel. So they knew he wasn't a threat for rabies. And they let it go for 7 years. He was posting, he was doing all this stuff, whatever it was, even was posting for 3 years. But there was no secret. Then they bring in a raccoon. Raccoons are more of a vector for rabies. And could there be a problem more so with the raccoon than the squirrel? Yes. Now, did they suspect? Was there anything about Fred's behavior that it might have indicated that he had rabies? No, not a bit. So could they have gone in and confiscated? Could they have gone in and forced him to update his licenses? I mean, there were other rehabbers that offered they will take these animals in until he gets all his crap straightened out. And he didn't want to do it. So, you can see, was this like a message from the state of New York to sort of flex their muscles and do what they had to do? Yeah, it could have been. But they did have a right. And there is another side of it. And someone made this point, and I thought it was a good point. Let's say something happened with one of these animals or any animal that he has there illegally, and someone gets bitten and there was rabies. So now, when someone sues the state of New York, knowing they knew that he had these, they knew his license, and they didn't do anything about it, now who's going to be also in big trouble? The New York State, this Department of Conservation Resources, whatever it was. So, it's not all one-sided. You got to hear both sides before you make a judgment call. I think they both had a right to do what they did, but also I think there were wrongs here, both sides. There were both sides. He should have had his license. He should have listened. He should have had offers to take the raccoon. He should have let them until he got his crap straightened out. State of New York, did they have to kill these animals? Absolutely not. No way. They were exhibiting no signs. They could have quarantined them. They could have quarantined them a month if they wanted. But to put it to sleep and use the excuse that they have to, the brain and they have to do rabies, no, they didn't need to do that. So anyway, would love to hear your input. All right. I know this is, I get so much talking in here. And let's see what you think. I'm waving. Hey, JB, how are you? What could cause recurrent hives in dogs? Had cortisone shot as well, Benadryl, but hives return. So first of all, Julianne, this has a lot to do with the breed. Some breeds, now, first of all, many breeds can get hives, but unless the hair is really, really short, you don't always see them. So, for example, the dogs that are known to get hives, be very allergic, French Bulldog, I know I have them. Then you also have any like a Weimaraner, Dalmatian, Adobe, any of these breeds with super, super short little hair, because then it's not that they get them necessarily more, but they're more visual when they do get them. And so that's why it really depends on the what the dog may be allergic to and what this dog is being exposed to. If we can figure that out, is it a food? Is it a pollen? Is it something they lie on, something that we call contact irritant? Then we can help solve the problem more. In the meantime, when it happens, yeah, we're stuck with just that. We're stuck with doing the steroids, doing the Benadryl, and they could work. Sometimes I lay a cold towel with cold water on them. That also soothes them as well. L-A-T-O-T-N, Latotin. I am in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I've been here since Thursday, going back this evening. Willingly, not necessarily. I got to go back. But doing this, getting the R&R, catching up on some reading, catching up on some journals, I'll tell you, it's not so terrible. How do I get an active phone call when I actually put do not disturb? This drives me nuts. Okay, anyway, let's see what else we got here. Jeff, Steph, how was your trip back? I hope it was good. Friends from Phoenix. Hey, Tony. Okay, so with no more questions right this second, I want questions, as you know, but come on, there's no way you guys went through the week and didn't have a single problem with one of your pets that you wanted to know more about. I don't believe it. If that were the case, I would have no appointments being made, and I have 35 to 40 a day. So don't tell me there's nothing. You had no issues with your pets this week. Yes, laws and compassion, very true, are always at odds with each other. But that's why I think they've made both mistakes. It should have been handled differently. The fact that New York State had to make a move. I get it. There are laws, but did they have to put these two guys to sleep that they knew didn't have rabies and use that as an excuse? Ah, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Tina, how are you? Okay. My 16-year, 8-month-old dog is getting several warts or small bumps around her body. New York Yankee. Okay. Hey, Steve. Here's the thing. Old dogs get warts. They do. And the little bumps, it depends. Are they fatty? We call it lipomas. Often they are. The warts, you know, they're going to get them. You could start now at 16 years old at 8 months. We're talking closer to 17 than 16 right now. What I recommend, anesthetizing, they're usually benign. The doctor can take a look at them and determine, yes, they're probably benign. They can always do either the HT Vista, which I love, which is this great device that uses heat diffusion technology to determine whether something, a mass in the skin, is acting like normal tissue or is not acting like normal tissue. If it's not, it is a high probability it's some sort of tumor, something that should be removed. So I use that as my screener now, because when I do what's called cytology, I do an aspiration. I send the cells, make a slice, send it to the lab. How anyone out there knows, many come back inconclusive. Well, now you got to take the thing off anyway and get a real answer. Now, if I knew, I may not know what it is, but if I know it's acting, behaving like normal tissue, so I'm less worried, then what I would say, you know what, Mrs. Smith, why don't we wait until his next dentistry? And while he's under for a dental, then we could take it off. Or when we have a better reason to anesthetize, then we can remove it. Now, you have a 16-year-old dog who probably has lousy teeth anyway, but let's say he did. Let's say he had good teeth. But you knew that these things were not aggressive. They were behaving as far as heat diffusion, and it uses AI to determine that. Then you have no, unless it's getting in the dog's way, unless it's a wart that's always bleeding, then I could see you saying, you know what, we should probably take it off. But if it doesn't bother the dog and it doesn't bother you, and if we knew that it is not serious, then leave it. Why risk the anesthesia unless there was a really strong reason? If the problem we're dealing with is worse from a risk perspective than the anesthesia, You got to do it. And I reminded you guys a million times, I anesthetized a 15 and a half year old Labrador, my own, and took off a huge tumor that if I had not done that, we would have had to put him to sleep in days, within days. I said, so what have I got to lose? Let me try. Yeah, that sucker went on, got through surgery with bells and whistles, and lived a year and a half later, more. So did I make the right choice? Absolutely. And remember, age is not a disease. If it is, I'm a protein deep. That is my birthday, my big 70th is coming up in 5 weeks. Oh, you know, 50 and 60 never bothered me. It's hurting 70. Just the sound of it scares me, let alone anything else. So anyway, so age is not a disease. So I always, is this something we have to deal with and making decisions about something? Of course. But I'm going to not do something or do something because of age. It's going to be because of the health of the pet. So of course, we start with thorough examination, blood work, urinalysis. If everything comes back fine, I don't care if he's 16. If I think he can tolerate it, then let him tolerate it. So that's what we're going to do. So that would be my recommendation. Steve, let's see. Is part of our old age, could that be cancerous? Well, I mean, yes. If it is, the doctor would be able to tell. And if not, look, if they don't have this HT Vista device, first of all, you should tell your doc about it. It's phenomenal. My clients, oh, by the way, you get an answer within 15 minutes. When you send it to a lab, right? Or, you know, there's also called Imagist, but it's not as accurate. But you could do something in-house. We have that also that can do cytology, but often it comes back inconclusive. So then you're wasting your time. But the device is cool. And but do we potentially see more aggressive masses in older dogs? Of course we do. But again, I wouldn't do it or not do it based on 16 years of age, 8 months of age, unless I had more information. It's LA to Tennessee. Oh, Tina Moore. Oh, that's what it is. Gotcha, Debbie F. LA to Tennessee. Ah, Debbie Freeman. Duh. Okay. That's funny. All right. It's about your Dermamist on Lulu for some hot spots. How many days should I continue? The Dermamist is great. Dermamist is a spray that is antifungal and antibacterial. It's kind of like us applying like a Neosporin or something to a lesion. But the beauty is it's not an oil greasy base. And that's why that's one thing reason why I don't mind putting little Neosporin or Bupirocin or an antibacterial ointment on, say, abdominal skin where there's no hair. But once it gets into the hair, it gets all gooey. I like water-based things. So my Dermamist is fantastic. And you know, it's, as long as it's tolerating until the hot spot starts to really dry up, then I would use it. I'd use it for 2-3 weeks if you have to. But if it's a real bad hot spot, should also be on antibiotics. That's for sure. Grayson, oh, I'm enjoying my last day. Absolutely. All right. Agree with not euthanizing. And Fred, yes, enjoy Cabo. Thank you. Thank you, BJ. Or JB, I should say. My son's BJ. All right. Right. Okay. So anyway, we are going to take this. Oh, good. Tina, when we go back, we're going to talk about the teeth if they don't let you brush. Well, first of all, you missed my trick last week on how to brush teeth. But we're going to break here for a second on Pet Life Radio because Mark has to go through his commercial supporters. And we will hold for a second. But here, I will stay on and we'll start talking about this. And for both of you, though, don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back on Pet Life Radio as well. So Pet Life Radio, I was just reviewing what we did last week about how to teach owners to get their dog's teeth or cat's teeth brushed, especially dogs that don't seem to like it. Now, are they going to love it? No, but they will tolerate it. And I do this for the very first time with a dog who hates his teeth brushed. They come in for that. Hates it. And I put this dog on my lap and I do this demo because it's a different feeling for the dog. They don't feel like they're getting their teeth brushed. They feel like they're getting hugs and love. And then with the paste, the tasty stuff they like, then they get the treat, then they get to jump off your lap, they start to dealing with it. Okay. Yes, it is great insight. You know, it was really, I first heard what everybody heard. New York State, what they did. Then I saw something on Reddit that was really interesting. And again, what they did was wrong. Maybe how they went about it was wrong. But did they need to do something to save their own hide as a state agency? Yeah. I mean, it's like anything you do say, when dogs get confiscated for biting, all right? They have to, if they don't have any history, they have to quarantine them. I remember I had to quarantine a dog because I was about the only person other than the owners on the planet that can get near this dog. He was a terror. And I started with him pretty young, and when he would see me, he would cry with excitement. Nobody could believe it because he would try to kill everybody else. But anyway, I get a call from the ASPCA one day. They want to know if I can come by. He was like day 4 or 5 of his 10-day quarantine because he bit a cop. Good move, buddy. You're going to fight, but don't bite. Anyway, he got loose. They tried to catch him. He bit him. Anyway, so he was under quarantine. So anyway, I get a call from the ASPCA. Can I come up and pick up the dog? I go, why? I said, because he wants to kill everybody and nobody can get near him. So I laugh. I said, okay. So I got one of my little leads that every vet hospital has it. It's like a little nylon thing about 1/2 inch thick. And I walk in and I say, I'm here to pick up the dog. And they look at me and they look behind me like, you and who else? I go, I'm here to pick him up. So they see this little skin leash on my hand. It's like, how the heck are you going to get that on this dog's back? So I walk in, they walk me back to his cage. And they literally run away. It was so I go. He sees me and he goes nuts. He is jumping on me. He is licking my face. It was so as I put the leash on him, we're walking out. And as we're walking down the hallway, everybody's like, we're pushing themselves against the wall, like, I'm not here. It was really funny. So, you know, the thing is, there are ways that you can handle these animals. And one thing I can tell you, neither one from the video, at least the videos I saw, had no indication of a dog that was brewing rabies. or having any clinical sign of rabies. So to have to use that excuse to kill them, they did not have to kill them. Could they have replaced them? Yes. Right. Department of Conservation, right? Environmental conservation. That's what they should be doing. Conserving, saving, not killing. So anyway, it was very frustrating for all of us animal lovers. But I do have to understand they had to do something. Now, Tina, we'll get to that in a minute. Tina wants me to talk about the combination of older dogs taking Librela and Rimadyl. And we will talk. And then for yeast infection. Oh, I love this. My list is so long. So that means you should come in every week and let's ask part two questions. Well, let's do this one. So it's how long can it take for a yeast infection to clear? My poor baby has been shaking his head and scratching his ears for too long. There's also a viscous fluid dripping out. Well, it is. Yeast infections are long. I'm dealing with one such dog right now. And, right now the ears are clean, but he's still shaking and scratching his head. But we cleaned him out the other day. First of all, it was a big dog that had a lot of hair in his ears. And that thick yeast was caked in on the ear. It was pretty disgusting. And trust me, I don't get disgusted very easily. Doing this for a long time. I'm used to almost everything. I've had anal gland secretion on my face. You name it, I've had it. So anyway, but the key that really is to, I would culture it for sure. We think it's a yeast infection. At this point, if it's really that chronic, you have to do smear, culture, see if there is yeast medication that's better than others for this problem. And a lot of times they have secondary bacterial infections, which are then feeding the yeast infection. So you got to take care of everything, get some cultures done, see what's going on. And then sometimes what we have to do with a dog like this is to anesthetize and literally under anesthesia, thoroughly flush the ears out, visualizing all the way down to the tympanum, which is the eardrum, to make sure there's nothing in there, making sure there's no growths, no polyps. Because sometimes when we have these chronic ear infections, it's because either of an old foxtail is still sitting in there, all right, or there is a polyp or something growing down in the ear, and it's occluding the light and the airflow, which is giving the yeast a perfect environment to grow and continue to grow. So if it's been going on for a while and that has not yet been done, I would do it. So it's a culture, making sure you're getting the bacteria as well, and a thorough inspection of the ear canal and removing anything that might be abnormal. All right, Tina, Missy, can't wait to get back to LA this year. Well, I can't wait to go back also. Plus, we have to do another show. I'm ready to go on Talk Shop Live, that's for sure. And what I like about Talk Shop Live is like I get to do this too. For me, it's not just selling product. You should join me on Talk Shop Live. I try to do it once a month. Tina is amazing. It's her baby. But I will tell you what I really like about it. It gives me an opportunity based on whatever subject matter I'm talking about my product to answer your questions. Because, I feel I was placed here for a purpose, and that's to help animals. And if I can help you help your animals, then guess what? I'm helping the animals. All right. Hearing the ad from the other show. Oh, that's funny. Okay. It's the same big dog. Okay. Hopscotch. A one-year-old doodle currently says starter on currently freeze-dried food vitamins or probiotics. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. I am a fan. I take vitamins. I do probiotics prophylactically. Some feel that don't do it unless you need it. When there's an imbalance and you want to balance it, most dogs maintain a balance. The question is, does it hurt? And my feeling is no. Now, if you're talking about a fat-soluble vitamin and you're overdoing it, that's A, D, E, and K, then yes, it can hurt. But we're not talking about values like that. B and C vitamins, well, hell, you could take as much as you want. It just gets peed out, whatever the excess is. So, I say it like this. If you knew, let's say vitamin C, for example, we do know that scurvy, that's from lack of vitamin C. In the old ships, back in the turn of the century before, and they were getting this disease. So if I knew that the body needed 500 milligrams, let's say, of vitamin C every day, and if you got less than 500, you could get scurvy. Now, do I want to take just 500? Or if I also knew that it wouldn't hurt at all to take 1,000 or 1,500, don't you want to be extra cautious to prevent scurvy? I would. So I take multis. And I take CoQ10, I take antioxidants, I take probiotic. Hey, I feel pretty good. As I said, I'm hitting a milestone. But do I Can I blame that, the fact I feel good on the vitamins? Maybe it's just all genetic. I maybe have been or doing just as well without them. But do I want to test that theory? Heck no. I'm going to do exactly what I'm doing because that's exactly what I wanted to do. All right, Jeff West, I got to ask you what type of food you feed your cat. So what I do for my cats, I do a urinary food by Hill's. And then as a topper, and don't be a hater, I use a regular canned cat food that is sanctioned by the AFCO, Association of American Feed Control Officials. My cats love it. My cats usually live into their, 17, 18, 19. And I obviously, take good care of them, but they love it. And it's convenient for me, but the food I really get, I order through my office, is the Hill's. It's because it's a CD, which is urinary tract WD, keeps them lean, except it's not working. One of my cats, who is, I'm embarrassed to say, a little bit on the obese side, he likes to eat, what can I say? And he's a happy cat. But anyway, so that's their main meal. And I use the canned food as a topper. I hope that answered your question. But, we can get into another discussion about this. And I said, food is overrated. The most important thing about a food, well, first of all, it should be AFCO certified. That just, confirms the balance, the nutrition balance, and the caloric need, et cetera, et cetera. But the really most important thing after you have the food, that is, for the dog's perspective, is taste. I don't care how good the food is. If they don't chow it down like my cats chow down their food, I don't care how good it is. It's not good enough for them. So they have to like it. Now, are there more than one good food out there that a cat could really like that satisfied AFCO? You betcha. There are tons. So now you anthropomorphize. Well, two things first. The other one is convenience. Your convenience. If you have to drive 15 miles to this one remote pet store who's got this food that you were told is the best on the market, best on the planet, it's not so good. So, but what you want to do is make sure that it satisfies all the nutritional values, but be careful. So many of us, and look what happened to grain-free and dogs. That's anthropomorphizing. That's putting our own values into our pets. If you want to eat vegan, you can maybe get away feeding your dog vegan, but you know what I say? Nah, don't. I'll tell you what. You create your best vegan meal on the planet. The one that all your friends come over and they can't wait to eat it. Go, get it from a restaurant like Planta, which is amazing, by the way. Okay? And then you take a good bowl of meat and put them both in front of your dog. Which one your dog's going to eat? Now, if he goes after the veggie one, then by all means, feed veggie. I bet you he's not eating it. He's going after the meat. So don't deprive the dog of what they like to eat. And they could be vegetarian. Now, cats cannot be vegetarian. Cats cannot be vegan. Don't even try. They need meat. They have to get their taurine from the meat. But meanwhile, you look what happened when everybody got this grain-free thing for dogs. And what? It backfired. Dogs can do very well in grain. Dogs can digest it. They like it. It gives them a source of protein. Why take it away? So it doesn't cause, they don't get celiac disease. They're not getting all these grain-free allergies, these grain allergies, that so many people have or at least think they have. So, no, I'm not a fan of grain-free. So anyway, try different foods, but if you get something they really like, that I would stick with it. All right. Going on. Give me a picture of your dogs and cats. And yes, I will. I'll give you a picture of my dogs and cats. They're adorable. 7-year-old dog, rabies vaccine will expire on the 12th, but I can't take him to the vet till the 30th. What is the implication of this, please? Okay. So it's a great question. First of all, why can't you do it they can't take you into the 30th? Because if you have 2 days, you got to get it done by Tuesday. So here's what may make a difference. If you are traveling internationally ever, in order for your rabies, not only does your rabies have to be current, it can never have lapsed. So then they make you get a second rabies shot after the first because you let the first one lapse. Now, I don't know who the vet is, and what we can do in our practice is we can do what's called a tech bat. If you're a good, upstanding client, we've seen you within a year, then we can, the animal can go back. We can give the rabies shot. And all I have to do there is be there and wink at the animal. Or now in California, I can establish a VCPR virtually on my air vet, for example. See, my air vet. So then if we do that, then you can, you know, you're an active client, then that we can give the rabies shot. So I don't know now, is it you can't because of your schedule or you can't because they won't take you? So let me know about that. But if you're not planning on traveling, I'm not worried about rabies. Oh, no, no, that vaccine is, believe me, they wouldn't say good for 3 years if it was literally only good for 3 years. Trust me. But it may come and haunt you later on if you ever were going to be traveling because the health certificates want to see them currently. You see them all active. Lizzie, hello, how are you? Which tuna did you say? That you can get tuna flavored. I don't, I feel that my cats a lot of fish have salmon, have tuna. Most of the brands are going to have a tuna flavor. TJ's white tuna and water. Hold on. With no, yes, that is okay. 100%. I wouldn't feed that as a sole meal because that tuna doesn't have all the other additives, but as a little treat or to doctor up what you're feeding. Oh, absolutely. It's fine. And also, I rinse it, but I make tuna and I make damn good tuna. I do the same thing. I also get the white tuna in water and I squeeze and rinse and squeeze and rinse and keep until that there's like no oil taste at all. And people really like it. All right. It's your schedule. Okay. Well, if there's no one else can zoom the dog in for a quick, then just don't be upset if you can't travel anywhere internationally for a while with the dog. All right. Good, good, good. All right. I think we have everybody. I want to get all the questions. Yes, rinsing good. Yeah, that came some of the oils away. But I'm not worried about it. You know, back to Annie. I'm not worried about your dog getting rabies in 12, 18 days. I'm not worried about that. All right. I'm going to send pictures of my dogs. Those of you, thank you all for joining. Thanks for our newbies, Stephanie and Jeff, for joining. And again, don't be embarrassed. You can ask me questions. I never really got to talk the next thing that I really wanted to talk about, but that's okay because I really like answering your questions. But it's a philosophical issue. I'm dealing with it right now. And the gist of it is, when do we say quits? At what point, after trying and trying, and then being faced with tests that cost thousands of dollars with no guarantee of either success once we determine what it is or identifying what it is. And the animal is continually going downhill. At what point do we say, you know, we can chase and chase and chase and chase, but really what good are we doing? And why we're chasing, how much is the pet suffering? So anyway, think about that. I'm sorry it's not a happy thought, but we're all going to be faced with this at one point or another with one of our pets. So it's really good to just talk about it and see how other people feel. All right. I will see you all next week. Same bad time, same bad channel here on Pet Life Radio. And once again, thanks for joining me and have a wonderful week. And I'm going to enjoy my last few hours here in the sunshine and calm.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.